Once again, I'd like to thank you all for being here this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have many thoughts that have placed upon my heart, and I have a threefold message, if you will, this morning with many thoughts attached to it. And I hope to accomplish what it is that's been laid upon my heart. I'd like to talk about three segments in time that are immutably true and each have their significance. And that is the past, the present, and the future. And each have it says its significance and importance and how we view it, what it means to us. How each are also can be interconnected and in how we view it. And so I would like to maybe make some statements. I have a few scriptures that I would like to present. Because there are the one thing that I wanted to make is a blanket statement that you even maybe hear me say throughout a message, and that is that God's fingerprints, His character, His power, His direction, and His purposes are on all of time. And His fingerprint has been fingerprints upon the world and its population, its people, the shape of the world today. They have His fingerprints upon it. And so, how each of us may look at the past, and how we may view the present, and how we may look to the future, has a definite impact on how and who we are, and what we decide, and what we stand for. One thing that I'd like to mention this morning is that we've got to be careful that we do not live or dwell in the past. There are many things that we could take and look back upon in our lives and think that we could have changed them. Or how would we have lived it differently? We think, well, if I know what I know now, I would have done something differently. And we can all be caught up in a little daydreaming, can't we? And we think about, boy, if I knew what I knew now, what would I have done in the past? And we can get caught up in that. And we've all done that, you know that. And to one extent or another, we have to be careful that we don't to dwell to where we can also beat ourselves up for the past. We can hold things to our charge and our account also that we have already been forgiven for. And you know, there's one thing we need to understand is that there we may have had past sins that we have not asked for repentance from or unto God. And maybe come to God in a godly sorrow or a repentful attitude, and we need to come to a knowledge where we need repentance for things. There are things that have taken place in the past, and yes, they have been in the past, but never have been addressed to be forgiven, and have not asked forgiveness for them. And sometimes we need to acquaint ourselves and do a little soul checking. And you know something? By reading and understanding and hearing the Word, you know, sometimes we come into a knowledge that we didn't know before, that, you know, maybe we had committed sin. And you needed to say, well, you know, to the Lord, I'm sorry for that and I need Your forgiveness. And so we got to be careful. We also we don't dwell in the past for many reasons. But you know something? We also need to learn from past mistakes in history, in our history, and look to others where mistakes have been made. As we look in the Scriptures, there are many examples from the past where people have made some very horrible mistakes or very good things they have done that have been a blessing. And so, the past is a history of what has taken place before this time. History is already maybe where what you had for breakfast this morning is already in the past. There's one thing about history, you can't change it. No matter how hard you try. You cannot change it. Where you have been and where the footprints have been trod, they've already been impressed. And they have already accomplished whatever has been done. And whatever you've accomplished within the past has brought you to where you are today. And so be careful. You know, we cannot change it, but do you know something? There is forgiveness for things that may we need to be repentful of. Or maybe you can say, you know, I'm thankful for this or that event or decision and glad that I made it. And we can look back over our lives and think that I see the very fingerprint of God that has brought me and the power and the moving of the Lord that brought me to this point today, and I am thankful for that. We can be appreciative. And once again, we cannot change it or how it has come to pass. Another thing is that we may search for facts or truth of history. And even within the Restoration, we look back to what our forefathers, even in the Church of Christ, and even further back to the very restoring of the church in 1830. And we look to know what they did back then and what maybe patterns were set. What truths were there? And we have to be careful even with that. You know, there can be misrepresentations of history. And I know that writings upon the Restoration, that there were falsifications even in history in order to maybe lift up certain people or maybe to impose a certain doctrine in certain denominations within the certain factions of the Restoration, and or maybe offices that were then within certain denominations, and they needed to justify those things, and we find where history can be even manipulated. So we look for the truth even in the past, and we look even in our own lives to the past. And where we had been and what we have done and what we had decided. Because you may also have a present problem that you say, you know, I've been there before. I've been there and I have done that before. And I remember, how did I do that before? How did I address that before? And how did I decide? And I know that within the Restoration, and with many others out there in the world that like to take a narrow view of the Book of Mormon, or within, and most of them want to demonize, such as Joseph Smith, and make him into a bad word. And I think that's a very sorrowful thing, and for many reasons. And it's a very easy thing to heap more dirt upon a person's grave once they're gone. And I have also seen where there's been falsifications in such a history, even upon him, where a man could be used for a wonderful work. And so God must have seen something in this young man in order to be used. And God has used many people throughout time. Didn't make them perfect, did it? God has used many people throughout time in order to accomplish His purposes. And there is many times in history where people have been used for many purposes, but then fell from the fame in which they were noted for. And there are many such examples. But what did it do? And man was debased so that God could be alone exalted. We find where even Solomon himself, who had prayed for wisdom that he may rightly judge the people, and the Lord blessed him beyond measure. And yet he had turned his heart turned away from the Lord in his latter years. And we find that David, even the Lord loved David. He was not even allowed to build the temple that his son would be, because he said he was a man of war, a man of blood. Moses, how great. He was a type of Christ unto these people. They looked to him, and the power of God was exercised through Moses. And they looked to him. But Moses needed to be debased because of maybe how the people viewed him. He could not even go into the promised land, but could only view it, I believe, from Mount Nebo. We find many such examples. And so, I believe that God also must have seen something in Joseph Smith. And I praise the Lord on how he may have used him. Now, we do not hold him up as above other men, if you will. But God had used him. It's just as He uses each of you within the accomplishments of your lifetime. And so, if it wouldn't have been Joseph Smith, it could have been someone else that he had appointed for certain things. And he has used different men within even the history of the Restoration in order to accomplish along the way, stepping stones, if you will. And we are stepping stones within the present unto the future today, how we may be usable material. And so we may look to from even the mistakes that we observe from past events, ours or others, and hopefully we learn from those things. And I had a question for you, something for you to kind of think about. And if you could pick one person from the past to converse with, whom would you choose? What would you ask them? Kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? If you could pick someone from the past, who would you choose? And what would you ask them? One very important thing that we need to remember about the past. And remember one thing, that the sins that we have committed, the sin that may be upon us, sin is something that has taken place in the past, hasn't it? The sin we commit. You may sit here today and you may have a sin, and I hope that you don't. But it's already taken place in the past, hasn't it? But it's laid to your charge, unless that it is forgiven, or you've asked forgiveness for it. And if you do have such a thing, that I do hope that you ask for forgiveness for it, so it is not laid to your charge. And especially that being a member of the body of Christ through baptism and receiving of His Spirit, we are very responsible, and we are held to be spiritual. And it says the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, and He does not want us to turn back unto sin. And so it's a very important thing that we are repented That's why the Book of Mormon has a very wonderful way of putting baptism. It says we are baptized unto repentance. Now we may look at Hebrews 6 and it says that there's the foundation of faith, repentance, and then baptism. 2 Peter says it's the answer of a good conscience is baptism. And why is it the answer of a good conscience? Because you have repented. And if you have repented and you've worked out your soul salvation with fear and trembling, you should have what? A good conscience. A clear conscience. And so we find that, but we are baptized unto repentance. Why? Like it talks about in the book of Luke, that no man having putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. We're baptized unto repentance. We are to stay repented. And if we acknowledge that there may be sin or transgressions in our lives, that we must repent of those things. We may stay a spiritual people, that we're not drawn away. But importance, very important. And I want to take it for a piece of scripture this morning. Let's look over in 1 John 1. 1 John, first chapter. And I'd like to read verses 7 through 10. And then we're going to read two verses in chapter 2. If we walk in the light, verse 7, and He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. We cannot say that when we come to Christ that we're unless we repent of these things and that we don't have any sins. And we must work out our soul salvation with fear and of trembling. Okay? So we cannot come to Him and tell Him, Lord, you know, I want your salvation, but don't ask Him for forgiveness or repentance, or repent from, or turn from it. We can't do that. And we will deceive ourselves if we think otherwise. Truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say that we have not sinned. We make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. We must believe in His word, accept His word, and the power of the Spirit will bring us to repentance, to turn from it. And verse chapter 2 says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And so we find a very important thing that, yes, you can be forgiven, you know, for past mistakes. And once again, about living in the past, you've got to be careful that, you know, that we accept His forgiveness. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. You know, you still have a conscience. You know, the Apostle Paul, even though that he was used for great things that the Lord used him for, he had a memory, didn't he? And he had done some horrible things. He says that I persecuted and I fear lest I should be cast off. But he hid in the Lord in His wonderful mercy and His grace. And it was that salvation that he was looking unto, the motivation for all that he was allowed to do. He said, I've fought the fight. I've run the race. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And one thing to remember, we cannot approach the Father or know Him without knowing the Son. Remember, the Son came representing Him in all things. The Son was the express image of the Father. And the Son is the firstborn from the dead. And He is the resurrection. And we shall not know the Holy Spirit but through Christ also. The knowledge of Christ, the Holy Spirit is the witness of the Father and the Son. And it is what is drawing you to Christ, is drawing you unto to the Son. And through Jesus, remember when Jesus talked about in the Book of Mormon, he said, when you pray, pray always in my name, my Father will hear you. It talks about in the Book of John, and it says, if we love him, if we will keep his words, it says, and my Father will love you, and I will love you, and we will come unto you and make our abode with you. And that is the Holy Spirit, and that is that comforter. And so, but we will be, the other statement is, we will be judged or held accountable for unrepentant sin. Unrepentant sin. So we're baptized under repentance. And in being spiritual, we are mindful of the law of Christ. Wonderful thing that this Holy Spirit, what moves. And we also need to look to, and that's where we learn in the Scriptures, and we learn from hearing and associating with the children of Christ, the fruits of the Spirit, like it talks about in Galatians 5. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so on. The attributes, finding those things within us. And the things that it causes us to do, like forgive other people, love other people, treat them how we want to be treated. Look upon people compassionately. So it says, judge how you would be judged. If you judge people harshly, your Father's going to look upon you this way. He says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you, the Father says. We have many prophecies that are recorded in the past. We have many, all the prophecies we find from the Bible and the Book of Mormon, they were recorded in the past. And we look to them to try to understand them. We try to understand them spiritually, but they have to do, there were many things that transpired and they were prophesied of that have come to pass already in the past. And one of those great prophecies is you're sitting here today, and you're sitting here in a restored church with a restored gospel, that you are seeing the words from those that were recorded in the past. And that prophecy said that you would see them here today. The prophet said you would see them here today. There are things that are recorded in the past that have not yet come to fruition, that have not come to pass as yet, but they are going to, and they have to do with our present time and our future and the rest of the world. Now let's take a look in the Book of Mormon. Let's take a turn on page 712. Page 712. And let's read verses 88 through 95. And whomsoever shall believe in my name, doubting nothing, unto him will I confirm all my words, even unto the ends of the earth. I'm talking about those things in His Word, things that were recorded in the past, even to the future, and the prophecies contained for the future yet. If you will believe. Now behold, who can stand against the works of the Lord? Who can deny His sayings? Who will rise up against the almighty power of the Lord? Or who will despise the works of the Lord? And who will despise the children of Christ? Behold, all ye who are despisers of the works of the Lord, for ye shall wonder and perish. Oh, then despise not and wonder not, but hearken unto the words of the Lord, and ask the Father in the name of Jesus for whatever things soever you shall stand in need. Doubt not, but be believing. Begin in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling before Him. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness, and ask not that you may consume it upon your lust, but ask with firmness unshaken that you will yield to no temptation, but that you will serve the true and the living God. See that you're not baptized unworthily. See that you partake not of the sacrament of Christ unworthily, but see that you do all things in worthiness, and do it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you will do this, and endure to the end, you shall in no wise be cast out. Now we find that endurance is where we need strength. We need to have the strength, the faith. We find that there are many complex and very God's mysteries that we can come to know, to understand, but find very simple things are very hard ones for us to grasp, to learn, to do. Faith, having faith in many things, having faith in our lives, how faith translates into your operations in life, how you live and decide, and so on. Humbleness. We think ourselves to be strong. We think ourselves to be strong and to be able to decide for ourselves. In many cases, not things we can. But learning where we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. And meekness, that we need to be in a condition. We need to be in a condition. If we are a doubting people, how is the Lord going to be able to speak to us in a manner of prophecy or revelation? How could He do that? And He said, woe unto you if you doubt, or that you won't receive it. So, how does that come about? We need to humble ourselves. And once again, it's the simple things that seem to confound many people. Very simple things. Learning about faith. Learning about goodness and treating other people who want to be treated. The simple golden rule that we learn in Sunday schools. And to use those very basic lessons. Once again, the Lord's fingerprints have been upon all of man's history. We find that there may be traditions in our families, or maybe in our church. Sometimes there are traditions from the past. And you know something, we are a different generation today. And now the Lord does not change. He says, in Him is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Sometimes things can be attached along the way. And sometimes there can be baggage in our lives. Sometimes it's in our church. And you wonder, sometimes you ask the question, why do we do this? Or why do we do that? We partake of the sacrament once a month. Doesn't say so in the Scripture, does it? He says, as often as you meet, you can take the sacrament in remembrance. Just something we've come to do. I'm not challenging it whatsoever. But you see, even in our families, there may be traditions. There are certain things that we have come to do because we've just done them that way. Because great uncle so-and-so maybe did it that way. And it just kept going on that way. Okay? And for what reasons? But the thing is that we need to look to some things. We may hold them up in so much importance that they can become a doctrine when they're not, too. And we qualify these things by His Word. And not that it's a bad tradition. It may be a very respectful and wonderful thing. I think it a very wonderful thing that when we kneel for the sacrament and it has come where many ask, say, would you kneel facing the emblems? Have you ever heard many people say that? Yes. And it may not say that specifically in the Scripture, but may do that. I think it's a wonderful thing. Okay? But you see, each of us need to know, each of us will stand before the judgment bar of Christ. And there is going to be gold, silver, the things that shall remain, and there could be wood, hay, or stubble. But we got to also that there may be, once again, traditions. And we need to qualify them sometimes. Sometimes there are things that we hold to importance that maybe shouldn't be. It just a thought, just a question, and so I'd like to go on to the present. I'd like to make a statement, And that statement is that we're never doing nothing. You ever call somebody up? I was thinking about that this morning. You're never doing nothing. You're always doing something. You ever call somebody up and they say, what are you up to? I'm not doing nothing. But I'll talk to you for a while. Do you ever do that? Somebody ask you the same thing? I'm not doing it. Just because you're sitting there and that you're not engaged in something you feel to be constructive. So I'm not doing anything. You're doing something. For one thing, you're living. The other thing, you're breathing. The other thing, you're never cease to move, no matter what you're never ceasing to move as you're sitting or doing. You may be bored. And bored is only a state of mind of whatever that you're claiming to be bored of, or maybe it's just a lack of patience, huh? Many people have just a lack of patience, but we're never doing nothing. We may not be constructive with what we're doing right then. We maybe like to do more. But you're thinking also, aren't you? And you're breathing. You are doing something. Now, about the present. We hope to correctly or wisely or spiritually observe or interpret the present condition. We all take in our living according to our thoughts, the things that we have come to learn in the past, wise or unwise, and how we want to decide what we are doing from moment to moment in order to live. And so we hope to correctly or wisely. Most all people want to correctly or wisely or spiritually observe or interpret the present condition. That is the present, which we're at right now. At this point. And so it's very important, you know, as we embrace the Almighty and Eternal God, His Word, we come to know of His wisdom. And where His character, the Scriptures reveal the character of God. And there are very many wise things that have been done. We look through the book of Proverbs, where these wisdoms were given. They were given for a young man. They were given for you and I. They were given for instruction. Listen to what I have to say, he says. Don't go out and do it. You don't have to experience it. And there is no rule. Many people think, well, they'll just learn from experience and so on. There are many horrible things that people commit because of experience. Well, someday they may come back. There are many where there's a danger. And a danger in that type of thinking. He wants us to learn from His Word. Don't go out and commit the mistakes. To learn from His Word. And that, so in the future, we're not looking back at past. What you're going to do today, what you're doing today, is something that you're going to look back on in the future. And what you do today is going to depend on what the future is going to be like. Kind of a staggering or a sobering thought, isn't it? The things that you do today. And how much future are you assured of? We don't know. We have no idea. The present today is the result of our past choices. I think I mentioned that earlier. The present today is the result of your past choices. Now, you wonder also where your values are at. And it's something to take a look at, you know, a gauge that where we spend the bulk of our thought and our time determines what our values are. Something to kind of think about. Maybe make a little pie chart if you want to. I spend this much time doing this, and I think about this here. This is how much time I spend for the Lord. And He's the one that can help direct the thoughts for the present that are going to become the past. And they will determine our values. Something to think about, isn't it? where you spend the bulk of your time and your thought and money determine your values. And so we need to learn from His Word, and that's what many of His simple teachings were all about, as we experience the present. And the how we may look even at how we interpret our present condition means a lot. I'll turn the best that I know in order to people wonder when I was going to use that glass of water, if I were going to drink it or just leave it there or just keep you wondering at it. But some of you may say, what? And each of you before, when I put it up there, you three of you made a comment, maybe four. And each of you said something different. Is it half empty? Is it half full? Or, our sister said, it's all the way full. Half water, the rest is air. That's how you may look at it. And some of you may say, well, there he's got a drink of water here for later on. Well, that's another thought too. But you see, you perceived it in your own way. And our lives the same way. As God has blessed you and God has given you beyond measure the blessings we have today. And we don't want to contemplate, you know, we don't want to contemplate where we would be without Him. And one thing very, very true, you would not be sitting in this room without God. Which is the result of our past choices, isn't it? When we are growing stronger, we can attain to humbleness and humility. We think that as we become stronger, we may become physically stronger, we may become more intellectually stronger, we may become more intelligent, so to speak, within man's measurements. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Because the Lord says, I will fight for you. And his attention goes to the meek and the humble. Look, Jesus said Himself, blessed are the meek, shall they inherit the earth. Not those that are building skyscrapers in their lives. Not that it's not Christians that work on skyscrapers, but I think you understand my point. And where is our goals, if you like? And where is the gold and silver in our life? The values, you know. And if it's in literal gold and silver, we have things to learn. We will find out how weak we are. When we, we can think ourselves to be strong or smart or whatever the matter. But you know, when your health fails and you cannot move and you are weak and you are sick, you realize all the other things that you have are either no value or they cannot help you where you are at. And I've made this statement before, and that is that there is no amount of money that you could ever pull out of your pocket or out of your bank account to buy a blessing. And also, you cannot buy your way into the kingdom of heaven. You see, it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But it's not impossible. There are many people that are blessed with great things. Solomon was blessed with great things, and he judged wisely, and they brought him great gifts and so on. Yes, we know his heart had turned later on, but we're talking about when he was faithfully serving the Lord, he was judging wisely. And so we hope that even what we have, it doesn't take a great amount of money to make an idol. But we can covet it. We cannot utilize it for good things or be good stewards with it. Being a good steward with it does not mean hoarding our money or our possessions. Being a good steward, maybe knowing when to dispense it. And you find even where spending a little bit more on something, even just temporarily, sometimes is a good steward with it because you bought something maybe of quality. And I find out many, many times, in my earlier years, when I bought something that was cheap, may have been all I could afford, found out that it broke a lot sooner or it wore away a lot faster. And I learned you spend a little bit more, especially on a tool. You know, when I'm working away at work, And I'll tell you what, when you're reefing on something with a nice, with a tool, something breaks and you wrap your knuckles and you're bleeding all over like a stuck pig, you realize, you know, I really shouldn't have bought that thing. I should have bought a better one. And see, you kind of learn some of those things. But as far, you know, with our possessions and so on, being good stewards of, is it knowing what to give, that we need to give to the Lord. Even as we look at tithing, you know, steadily giving unto the Lord, as He has increased us. And I said, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And people look at that many times as money that's going out. And it's really the wrong way He wants to look at it. One thing is, He says He's proving His people. And the other thing, He says He's stand waiting to open up the windows of heaven and bless you. Do you want that? Would you rather have the blessings of heaven? And we have no idea where those blessings how they may come, where they may come to, and it may bless us, bless our family, and so on and so forth. And He always gives more than we ask for. And so, when we are growing stronger, we can attain to humbleness and humility. And we can face chastisement, which yields peaceable fruits, the Scripture says, doesn't it? Many people hide within the present. Many people hide from God's direction. They don't go to Him in prayer or listen for His still small voice and listen for direction. Maybe they're afraid of what they might hear, what they might have to change. We come closer to Him, we should be coming stronger, and in more humility maybe able to listen, to hear, to know, and to engage His direction. They hide from His direction, so they're also hiding from His blessing. Many people can hide from His blessing in that same respect. There are some hard things that we need to do in our life, and so we need to learn to listen and to be humbleness of mind, that we may be able to change. There are maybe some hard things that we need to do. And it talks about, let's turn to Hebrews 12th chapter. Hebrews in the 12th chapter. And let's read verses 11 through 14. Actually, we're going to back up just a hair. And we're going to go to verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. You know, and it doesn't mean He's going to take you directly to the woodshed. It doesn't mean you're going to receive something horrible. It means chastisement means correction. And hopefully we're learning chastisement through hearing and receiving of His Word and applying it in our Word. And He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth, because what? He wants us to come closer to Him. He wants us to mature in His gospel. If ye be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. In other words, we're not His proper children. He wants us to, you know, a good parent is going to help children with correction, to know the right way, that the future may be more prosperous in their life, so to speak, and build spiritual fruits, and doing good things, and having good habits. Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and gave them reverence. Shall not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live spiritually, live eternally. For verily, for a few days chasteness after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. He says, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is belamed be turned out of the way, but rather be healed. You know something? We can be whole and strong and walking strong and tall and so on and so forth. But we don't know that we're crippled in our lives in many ways, because we're not wanting to come to the Lord with full purpose of heart. that we may be healed by the Lord's loving chastisement. Follow peace with all men and holiness with which no man shall see the Lord. We must follow holiness. Go on unto perfection, Jesus taught us. And we're living by faith unto endurance. I was looking out, I was looking out in my backyard. And there's five or six big pine trees out there. And I really don't want to take them down, or I'll have a bare yard. Alright? They've had like wind blight, or whatever you may call it, and are going dead up a certain portion of them, and some of it's still alive. Okay. But I don't want to cut them down because it's going to cause a bare spot in my yard. Well, yeah, I could plant new ones, so on, and it takes years to do that, and I should probably do that. But there are two of them, specifically, I have a pole barn, and there's a trailer in that pole barn. And to get that trailer out, I needed to cut down one of those trees. Now, that's fine, so I can get that out. It still takes a lot of effort to back that trailer in there. And I can do this fine, haven't caused any problems with it, but it still takes a lot of problem. I particularly had two clothesline posts. They were also out in the backyard. And I really had a bother to be able to go through this little maze to back this thing in there. And so, I took them out so that I could take it and have a clearer shot to back this in there. So it would be a little bit easier so that I could see and so on. Wouldn't damage the truck, couldn't damage the trailer. But there's still one tree. And I keep looking at that thing. And I think to myself, I should cut that down. And I should. But I put it off. And there's procrastination, I know. Probably take a better part of a half a day because of cleaning it up and everything else like that. But there are a lot of things in our lives that we may have also taken care of part of the problem and not taken care of all of it. And the Lord wants us to take a look at our lives in much the same way. And He says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. We have important tasks ahead of us. And we need to do an accounting, a spiritual accounting of our lives, that we may be able to see. You know, it's just like Jesus talking about the Pharisees. Remember the Pharisees? He says that maybe the scales would fall from their eyes if the Spirit would work upon them. And they wouldn't let the Spirit work upon them. They had their own agenda. Sadducees and the Pharisees and so on. And they were more interested in coming up with more questions and causing more contention than they would to hear, to know, to understand what Christ was saying. He says that they could see, and then I could heal them. We've got to be careful. We're not much the same way that the Spirit of God does not roll off our back just like water off a duck's back, you see. And our heart can be calloused. We need to let the Lord work with us, and He can't work with that hardened and penitent heart. But there are many things, sometimes not in our life, sometimes it's a physical thing that we need to, it could be an idol that we've made out in our life, and it doesn't take a lot to make a life, or an idol. And so I believe at this point in our sermon, and it's about halfway through, that this is going to be a two-parter. And so we're going to enter into the next portion of our services.